to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And my rock star right here, Leon Wu, he's the founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Alex. It's really good to be here.
And you look very sharp yourself. I hope you're wearing one of your jackets here.
Yes, absolutely. Wearing a Sharp blazer right now.
Love it.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us, what is Sharp Suiting?
So, you know, I founded Sharp Suiting in 2013, and back then it was to fill a fashion need, mainly with people who are masculine identified or gender nonconforming like myself. But what it's become nowadays is something that's more of a social brand. We're all about gender equality. We suit custom suits for both men and women, no matter how you identify.
And it's really difficult to break into the fashion industry. There's a lot of competition there, but you found your niche. How did you do that? How did you disrupt this industry?
Yeah, well, I think that being that we were a brand that was inspired by the LGBT community, that really kind of helped us. We did a lot of community events at first. We did a lot of promotions within LGBTQ events. And from there, we followed kind of a niche market and then kind of tried to expand that a little bit more so that we could be a brand that anyone could wear if they really believed in our mission of gender equality.
So you started serving a very particular community and then expanded from there. So that was your strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we had a lot of early success with publicity. We did have a lot of people help us out at publications like Huffington Post, Queer Voices, The Advocate, Frontiers Media, all of the LGBT publications. And we kind of, you know, rode this new wave with them. And, you know, we rode this wave through marriage equality, through trans visibility. And today,
it's very timely.
Very, very timely. It's almost like it happened, you know, in a very specific predestined indicated path. And I just took the next, whatever the next indicated path was. This year, it's, you know, with the walkout of over 3 million women and advocates walking across the nation, this year is all about gender equality.
Totally. So it goes to show that even in a really competitive industry like fashion, there are still underserved communities, needs, and it's just about fulfilling those needs. And there's always space for new people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've always believed that fashion is about identity. And, you know, I'm part of my whole identity growing up, being gender nonconforming and then identifying as transgender and then a trans man. It's kind of been also a progression for me too. And serving this particular niche at first was exactly that, representing an identity that was not being expressed in the fashion world.
Yeah, and you are bringing such an amazing point of view and perspective, because this is your passion. It's close to you. It's so much more than a brand. It's your stories interwoven in it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I think it's an important one because it represents not just the specific niche group, but also, you know, the right for anyone to wear what they feel comfortable wearing. It doesn't matter how you identify. You can be a man or a woman who wants to wear something that might be a product, a fashion product that's more genderized, particularly. And our mission is all about, you should just be able to wear whatever you want to feel confident, empowered, and be yourself.
Yeah, you're really helping change the mindset around fashion too, because a lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes brands think of fashion as a way to impress others, and it's all about image, you know, versus you're coming from the perspective of it being a self-expression of who you are and your own identity. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's been kind of a journey for me and my peers. I work with so many other brands that kind of started on the same path as me, whether it's a shoe brand like Nick Casey Footwear or, you know, streetwear, urban streetwear like Sir New York in New York. And, you know, we're kind of all in this path together where we are all about fashion being you, and how whatever form you express yourself, whatever characteristics. The fashion world is quickly kind of changing or catching on to that a little bit. And I think being a custom suiting company is easier to do that. That way we can work specifically on personalized fit and style with each person. But, you know, I think and I hope with technology that one day fashion is just going to be about personalization, just like a lot of technology is. Nowadays.
And that's what you're really providing. I went to your website and right away it had me plug in my height, you know, my weight, my style preference, yeah. All these different unique questions that you never really get asked at the sites I go to, and with the idea of personalizing. So tell me a little bit about your process.
Yeah. So right now is version 1.0 of our virtual tailor on our website. And you can pretty much, go to our virtual tailor. It's going to ask you a minimum of 3 or 4 questions, but up to 10 other questions that are optional. And basically, you put in your height, your weight. And right now, it's a little bit binary. You have to state whether you're female or male, and that's just really to understand.
And it says how you identify.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. How do you identify a male or female? We're going to be changing that in the 2.0 version to be a little bit more inclusive of gender nonconforming folks. But right now, the technology is a little bit more binary, unfortunately. So. With the technology, however, we can pretty much predict your measurements within 97% accuracy. So if you're somebody that's in the Midwest or the East Coast and you want to buy a sharp suit, we're based here in LA or West Hollywood, then you can go on our website and answer those 3 to 10 questions, and we can ship you a suit within 3 to 4 weeks that's going to fit you better than anything you're going to get off the rack.
Right, because regardless of your body type, there's really a suit for you is the concept, right?
Correct. Yeah. And then, part of it is besides, representing how you identify more as male or female, just to understand your body metrics. Then the other question is the style component. Are you more masculine? Are you more feminine? Do you like an androgynous suit? And then that's where we use what we call our anthropometrics to kind of manipulate the measurements in the back end and send you a cut that is according to your style.
Okay, so what's the technology called or the measuring system, anthropometrics?
Anthropometrics. So anthropometrics are what custom tailors study. So we kind of played with the first part of that word and changed anthro to andro.
I love it. And this is something that you've trademarked. So this is part of your secret sauce of your brand.
Yes.
How difficult was that process to get that trademarked?
Trademarking is not so difficult. It's recommended to work with a lawyer because
and
anything.
And you did, and I'm sure you're happy you did.
Yes. Yeah. We've got a great lawyer. There are specific, you want to go to an intellectual property lawyer to do that. We have our other lawyer that's
they
like
specialize
more. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Work with a lawyer to get anything trademarked. If you need to get like a provisional patent or a long-term patent, work with them. They know exactly, what to do. I know for anthropometrics, because it was more of a word or a semantic based thing, then the trademark was the right legal protection to get for that one.
And as we were talking about, it's really timely, and it's not just, the LGBT community that's maybe demanding more androgynous options. Even we're seeing more mainstream celebrities show up on red carpets and females who at one point maybe wore really feminine dresses, they're rocking suits. So does this seem to be a trend in general that's going to be disrupting the mainstream a little bit?
Yeah. We started to see in 2016, a lot of women, who identify with femininity, rocking like a pantsuit at an award show. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. This year is all going to be about, for the next award show, for instance, who's going to be rocking the pantsuit, mm-hmm. And And hopefully it's going to be a hit for most of these girls, and we're cheering them on.
Yeah, and it's cool because, you know, sometimes the pantsuit will be more masculine, but a lot of times it'll be more feminine, and it's just depending on what their personal style is like.
Absolutely. Just because you're wearing a pantsuit doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be more masculine. You know, we've feminized a lot of suits by making them more tapered or higher waisted, more slender sleeves, for instance, more kind of a smooth shoulder. Yeah, so, you know, it's all in the subtle details of the fit that make a suit. And, you know, we want women to feel empowered and be able to rock something that they feel sexy and confident in and be taken seriously with it.
Oh, I love it. Such a good mission. Thank you so much. We are going to be right back with my guest, Leon Wu, founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom doesn't.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And this is my rock star, Leon Wu. He's the founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. Such an amazing conversation. Love what you're doing. And a lot of publications have as well. You've gotten a lot of publicity, especially in the beginning. How did you get this publicity?
Thanks. Well, you know, like it kind of started with doing a Kickstarter campaign.
Okay.
And, you know, anyone who's run a successful Kickstarter campaign will tell you that publicity is actually a part of that. You know, you want to make your crowdfunding campaign something that's known to, you know, local publications, to whatever your target market is, that community for us. You know, we started reaching out to friends that we knew at publications first and kind of building our own PR list.
And just emailed them, said, hey, I'm doing this Kickstarter campaign. Are you interested in featuring it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We had some friends at Huffington Post, as I mentioned before, The Advocate, Out Magazine. Like, we've been in probably, I don't know, at least 50 different publications in the last 3 years. And it just kind of was something that we started off with, a very kind of controlled list that kind of just brought about more and more different referrals.
And then people probably saw you.
Yeah.
And
so it was a lot of reaching out first. And then what happens was, you know, other people who work at other publications, they'll read about us somewhere and then they'll contact us. And so now we're seeing a lot of publicity coming in. So as a fashion brand, you always kind of want to start working on your PR list first and, you know, continuing to let people know what you're doing as a business. And then sooner or later, you'll, you know, kind of get the ball rolling and people will start contacting you.
But at first you didn't hire a PR agency, right?
Well, we did actually work with a PR agency about a year ago. And that was also very effective as well.
But you even started your PR before that. So by right. emailing yourself. So that was effective to a certain point. And then yep. you decided at what point that you wanted a PR agency.
Yeah. So we did work with a PR agency about a year and a half ago. And that was strategic because we wanted to reach people in Canada. So we worked with a PR group called Dress Code. Code spelled with a Q. The founder, Asit, that we worked with there was really effective. He had more of a kind of an East Coast and Canadian representation. So he's kind of able to spread the word about Sharp in those regions.
Yeah. So really tap into your own network. But then if there's a new network that you don't have connections in, then maybe yeah. that's when PR comes in handy.
Yeah.
But it sounds like in the beginning, it was very, very grassroots. And a lot of that is just luck. And if your message resonates with your fans, your audience, your followers. But is there any strategy to grassroots marketing that you guys implemented?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just focus on when you're writing a lot of the content that goes to these publications is begin with write-ups that you provide for them. So it's kind of like telling a story. Just be very authentic and tell your story. So many brands these days, it's all about a specific purpose or an inspiration or a social mission. Like talk about that in your write-up. And just be very authentic
that's
about your passion.
That's ultimately what people care about the most is the mission.
Absolutely.
It's so much more than the fashion. I mean, the fashion's incredible, but then it's really the mission that's behind it that really resonates with people.
Yes. Yeah. People want to identify with the brand, that's like an actual course that you take in business school is brand identity. So.
Yeah. And like you said, this is a huge trend to have a mission-driven business. I hope it stays. What's been your experience? Why do you think this is resonating so much with people to have these mission-driven companies?
Yeah. I think it's because, people really want to feel emotion, with something like fashion, where it's not necessarily a commodity or you're spending, your disposable income on this product, and you want to feel something. You want to feel confident. You want to feel, empowered. You want to feel great when you put on your Sharp jacket and you go out somewhere or you go into a boardroom,
Totally.
So I think that going forward, it's all going to be about identity and experiential marketing. So the way somebody feels about a brand is going to be equally important.
That's the sweet spot. That's what you want to connect with.
Yes. The brand connection is so important. Not just that it's a good product. Definitely have a good product. Make sure it's quality. And then work on, connecting with your clients and your customers.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about your background and how you transitioned into being an entrepreneur and being the boss of your company.
A lot of people in my family, my extended family, are very entrepreneurial. So growing up, I've always been more of that kid that was like the leader, and I knew I wanted to do something leadership growing up. Which route that took, and specifically fashion, wasn't necessarily indicated to me until much later. I did IT for a little while as my corporate job, and I, took the leap of faith to start Sharp and jump out of that industry about 4 years ago. Basically, fashion has always been a part of my personal life and my hobby. Growing up, I'd read GQ. I would sneak into my dad's closet to try on menswear all the time. I would envision myself in menswear. I even styled for men's fashion shows. I was that person that other people who identified similarly to me, that is masculine presenting or androgynous, they would come to me and say, hey, I need to wear something to this wedding, or, I can't find jeans that fit me. Where do I go?
You were developing this expertise and you didn't even really know it because you were the go-to person.
Yeah, because it was more of a hobby and it was something that I enjoyed doing.
So at what point did you decide, I'm going to make this into a business?
Yeah, I started this after I took my friend to one of those Hollywood suit outlets, And it was just a terrible experience. And, you know, I'm not going to go through the story, but basically, you know, you could read about it. It's in tons of publications. But she had an awful experience, and they, you know, she basically didn't fit any of the suits that they had there. And the rep actually said that to us, and I had to tell them, I think it's the other way around. You don't have anything that fits her. So at that point, I just got fed up and I said, I need to start this. I had already developed contacts when I had traveled overseas to Asia. And also when I was in New York for business school, I got my first custom tailored suits. So, you know, I slowly kind of tried to develop contacts that I would formulate into a business at some point. So after that experience with my friend, that was that some point that I decided I'm just going to do it. I started working in on the nights and on weekends. I formed a team that would help me with this. And then at a certain point, I just left my full-time job, jumped straight into it. And that's when we did our Kickstarter campaign.
Wow. So interesting. Such great work. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Loved learning about your business.
Thank you.
Leon Wu, he's the founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. And we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jo Angelo is joining us right now. She's the CEO of Genev. Recap for us what your company does.
Genev is a women's healthcare company focused on women's hormonal health. And we provide healthy products and content to help women live the best versions of themselves.
So you said you guys are providing products on the back. Because I was going to ask, how are you guys able to monetize what you guys are doing? So how do you go and get these products? Are you the ones making them? Are you finding, you know, products that you end up white labeling? Are you doing joint ventures and affiliates and host beneficiaries? How are you guys doing it?
It's a combination. So our healthy products, they're consumer products. We sell them on Amazon.com, Walgreens.com, and we sell them via direct via Genev.com.
Okay.
And they are products that we both manufacture. We've also private labeled some. We develop our products focused on the symptoms women experience with hormonal change in their body. And so a couple of the products, one in particular, we have developed ourselves and manufacture. It's got FDA clearance. A couple of the others we've private labeled with the Genev brand, just to give a family of products for women.
Nice. And so when it comes to selling those products, is it specifically inbound marketing for people reading your content, or do you guys actually have different strategies and tactics to go out, put advertisements and marketing campaigns out that yield sales?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just content marketing?
Yes.
Is it both?
It's a combination of both. So content marketing is huge, obviously, because we're building a consumer brand that's based on trust in a relationship with women around their health. So that's one facet. The other, we do some paid advertising, obviously search and SEO work just to start to build our brand. We've done some press as well. And then we obviously market through the Amazon and Walgreens engines that we're part of from a distribution perspective.
Nice. What have you found being some of the best platforms to distribute your content? And what have you found being some of the best platforms to sell on? Because a lot of people are doing Facebook ads, LinkedIn, you said Google, SEO, different things like that. what's working best for you.
So on the content side, we're obviously publishing ourselves direct and then pushing that out through channels. We're really building the backlinks with different influencers in the women's health space, whether it's mommy bloggers or, you know, bloggers focused on nutrition and exercise and so forth. But we also publish a lot to Medium. It's a long-form space that a lot of people appreciate content, and that's the kind of original content that we're creating with medical experts and with women telling their stories. On the marketing side, or the digital marketing, Facebook ads, huge. Our space, because women's health sometimes includes some terminology that is a little bit more sensitive in nature, we really have to work with Facebook to find the right language so that it is publishable. Same with YouTube and Google.
Awesome. And I know that it is difficult to deal with Facebook sometimes with the wording and everything like that. A lot of people don't understand. And I think that if you dominate Google search engine optimization, people are probably, I know you and I talked, we said we can't say some of the things, but people are probably all typing that in on Google. And if you guys can make sure that you're, you know, paying for those $12 keyword searches, then you guys are going to dominate. But then you got to have a good lead capture and funnel and conversion process at the back end. What has it been like for you? Because I know this is new for you. Getting into this space, dealing with generating, qualifying, nurturing, converting leads, how has that experience been for you?
You know, first of all, when you come from a big corporate space, I was an executive in the corporate space, so I had a team that did a lot of this work. So I've learned to do it myself. That's number one. And you've got to understand it and dig in. I think more than anything, especially as well as a startup, you have small budgets. And so I can't go out and put the $12 on a term that a big competitor, a big brand that's already in the space is buying on. And so I've got to find the long tail terms, own those, and start to build gradually. Especially on the content side, that's where I'm going to build loyalty and trust with consumers. And so that's my angle to trying to find a unique and different way into this business. A third mechanism is really focusing on the medical referral channels. I'm talking to doctors, physical therapists, women's wellness spas and centers, oncology departments to get our products into their space so it develops that word of mouth.
How has it been received from influencers, from partners, from doctors, from different things like that? Has it just been kind of like, we get it, let's do something, let's figure out how to make it work? Or has there been like, well, I don't know?
It's, we get it, you know, for a long time.
Because sometimes first-year businesses have trouble conveying the message, the value proposition, and setting something up in their first year.
Yeah. You know, I'd say with our audience, with women and with medical professionals, they're like, oh, we get it. In fact, when we started this, we surveyed 1,500 women to understand the kind of products they used and where they bought them. And we came back, they gave us feedback we didn't think we'd get. And they said, would someone start the dialogue already around this topic? So, well received there. From investors, that's where a topic like this is kind of like, you're not in my
space.
Are you trying
to get investors
now? Quite get it. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. I'm curious to find out how you are looking to raise money and then allocate it. CEO of Genev, Jill Angelo, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about investors right now. Why do you think you need investors? What are you going to do with the money?
I need investors simply to get the business going. In my space, I'm in the manufacturing space, so I need cash outlay for products up front, as well as to build a consumer brand. It requires digital marketing. And so that's where investors are coming in to fund the business.
Okay. And you're going to use the money for products. You're going to use it for marketing to grow the team and everything like that.
Yes.
How has that process been? Is this your first time trying to raise money?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's been probably one of the harder parts of the job.
I was going to say.
I had original angel funding up front, and that was a great kickoff and support system to get the business going. And I think maintaining that, especially in the manufacturing space, I've got to find an interesting combination of debt-driven funding for production and then save the equity for team and consumer brand building. That's kind of my strategy. And finding that right mix is a challenge just to get it right, especially at such an early stage.
What has been one of your best lessons so far when selling? I remember when I was going out raising millions, and it's just a crazy experience to sit down with high-level people that can write a check for seven figures. And getting the feedback from them and being nervous. And what has been one of the best lessons for you that you could share? Because a lot of people out there are probably like, I'm trying to raise money too. I'm struggling, or I'm trying to figure out if it's right to raise money. What's been the best lesson for you on that process?
Well, first of all, really understand the investor and their motivations. Mm-hmm. If you go talk to them and they're not interested in your space or in your kind of business, you're just wasting their time and you're wasting yours. And I've learned that. I've been told that as advice, but I think once you really feel it, when you find that connection with someone who's really interested in your space, that's great. I think as well, know your numbers. Understand the economics of your business and how one thing builds and leads to another, and then have that dialogue with the person. And it's okay if you don't know every answer, as long as they really understand how you think. That's probably the greatest bit of advice I'd give to somebody, because that's when you get into the dialogue and the intimidation factor goes away.
Awesome. I love that advice. Now I want advice on the person who has a 9-to-5 job. There's a lot of them out there. Yep. You made the jump. But I think there's so many people that are crippled in fear, crippled in uncertainty about, is it the right time? How am I going to pay my bills? We get all different types of answers. That's why I'm excited to get yours. Somebody has a 9-to-5 job. They want to, desperately want to cut the cord and go after their passions and their business. But for fear, uncertainty, and other variables, they're not going yet. What's your advice?
I think it's really hard to dip your toe and try and do it after hours. I know that, and that
that's
seems
what a lot
like
of people say.
It seems like the logical way to do it, but you're never going to put yourself out there and truly be successful in a way that it requires. Like this is a put your whole self into it kind of.
You're
mode.
All in. Or you're not.
All in. Hmm. And honestly, you could always go back. You can always go back to the 9-to-5.
But most people are terrified of going back because if their friends and their family are like, well, you quit your job, which we already said not to do. You went out and your business failed. We were rooting for you, but we kind of knew it was going to fail, which is like, great. What a great friend or family member. And now you got to go back to the 9-to-5 job. That's like the nightmare. I think most people, employees are terrified of losing their job. Entrepreneurs are terrified of having a job. So to quit your job, go get be an entrepreneur and then have it fail and come back. It's like the nightmare of nightmares.
Yeah, it's not fun, you know, but you're going to have to make tougher decisions in the business than deciding to quit and go back. And hey, you know what? You maybe don't need to go back. You could do other freelance or whatever to sustain some income until you figure out the next step. But I think it's harder being an entrepreneur and the decisions you have to make versus going back.
I 100% agree. But again, to the point, a lot of people are going through that struggle in their mind, right? Oh no, what am I going to do?
And I don't want to. I have the same struggle. I'm not,
I remember thinking that before my business took off. I remember my first year and even at some points in my second year being like, oh my goodness, it'd be so much easier to just shut everything down. Mm-hmm. I'm only paying other people first. Like I'm working to make money to pay other people first. And pay myself last. And if there's not enough to go around, I don't get anything or I get very little. But I'm the one doing most of the work that ends up paying all these people. And it's just like, it'd be so much easier to go get a job and keep all my own money. And being in that place is such a terrible feeling. But I think having gone through that, pushing through it and getting to a place where you're like, now I'm at a place in my life where I don't ever have to worry about money. It's just like to look back and be like, you got through it. That's the goal, I think, of an entrepreneur is to get to that place. But you got to get through the hustle and you got to get through the adversity. Taking back to a season in your life where you had adversity. Could be maybe in this first year of your business.
It's right now. It's right now. Mm. You know, I'm 1 year into this business, so I'm in that place right now where you're worrying about money and you're paying everybody else before you're paying yourself and you're working like you've never worked.
Yeah.
You know, I've
That's
had 20 years
yeah,
in tech
crazy.
And I'm working harder than I've ever worked. There are super low days, but the highs are really great. And you just have to kind of say, okay, I have another woman that works with me and we're always like, okay, what are we celebrating today? And I know it sounds kind of hokey, but we're like, hey, let's celebrate the person who commented on that blog post because it was one person that we reached. And so we make it a point to have a little bit of quirky humor to keep our spirits up, to keep us going. But it's not, I'm in it. Right now, and every day is a self-talk to myself around staying positive and just fighting through it.
And that's huge. It's the self-talk going on in your head that's either going to crush you and make you quit, or it's going to get you back up and keep going. I love that you just said, you know, you celebrate the small wins. Reminds me of a quote from my friend John Assaroff. He says, celebrate the small wins as if they're big, and the big wins as if they're normal. Jill, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you
so much. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. What do the best bosses do every day? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Your company is only as good as the culture, and that starts with the boss. Here are some things the best bosses do every day to provide a happy workplace and make them wildly successful. One, they don't micromanage. Be an amazing boss by taking comfort in the fact you hired the right employees with the right talents and qualifications. Two, they reinforce good work. It's a simple concept. If you boost morale, you boost productivity right there in the workplace. Three, they listen. Here's a trick. Say, tell me more, to show you're actually listening or when giving feedback. Cultivating respect in the workplace doesn't happen all at once. It's about a series of daily habits that mesh creativity and leadership. It also instills trust in them as well. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day, watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, WOW, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Chuck Woolery here for Blue Emu. How many pain relief ads do you hear daily? 5, 10, 15? And of course, all of them claim their new ingredient or their new formula will help. Blue Emu has maintained the same quality year after year and continues to be the number one branded emu oil product. So don't trust hype. Trust Blue Emu to support healthy muscles and joints. Choose Blue Emu pain relief products. They work fast and you won't stink.
Available at retailers nationwide.
Hello, this is America's healthcare advocate with your healthcare tip of the day. The most health-promoting type of fat that you can eat is composed of omega-3 fatty acids. They reduce your risk of breast cancer considerably in three major ways. Omega-3 fatty acids decrease the power of estrogen in the breast so that cells won't divide as quickly in response to estrogen. They act to subdue inflammation and all the ill effects of an enzyme involved in inflammation called COX-2 enzyme. Omega-3's up oxygen-free radicals. Here's a list of some of the major health conditions improved with omega-3 fats. Asthma, cancer of the breast, prostate, and colon, diabetes, heart arrhythmias, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, rheumatoid arthritis, skin disorders, osteoporosis, gum disease, and more. The best source of omega-3 fatty acids is flax seeds, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, hemp seeds, soybeans, winter squash, and ground oregano are the other good sources. The body functions best when you eat a 4-to-1 ratio of omega-6s and omega-3s. Fat that's good for you.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. This is our CEO roundtable segment. And as always, two rockstar CEOs are joining us right now. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Kara Santana, CEO and founder of the Glam App.
And what is the Glam App? Do you might as well give us a little bit of background?
Right. The Glam App is Uber for beauty. It's hair, right, makeup, and nails on demand.
All right. Well, let's see if he is the Uber of something, too. What do you do?
My name is Taylor Walker. I'm the CEO and founder of Earth Encounters. It's a gaming company. We create board games, educational board games that are also fun, but teach people about societal issues in a competitive way.
Very cool. Give me a contextual example. Tell us about one of those games. I think that's awesome.
Okay. So, like, for instance, answer me this. What changed the world more, Google or Facebook, and why?
Google or Facebook? That's a tough one. I would say Google, okay, just because it's an educational tool. It's a learning tool. Mm-hmm. For Facebook, can be as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Facebook's more of a news feed, mm-hmm, where if you're following the wrong people, you're going to be conditioned with the wrong information.
Right.
All of my friends on Facebook and followers and stuff like that, it's peer motivation. You scroll down my newsfeed, you're going to walk away like you're on fire. You're going to be exactly motivated. Mm-hmm. But if you're a typical average person, you probably have, you know, friends that are conditioning the wrong things on your newsfeed. Mm-hmm. Whereas Google is going to be based on the individual user. If you're typing, mm-hmm, in good things, number one search thing on Google is how-tos. Mm-hmm. And that means people are looking to learn when they go on Google. Mm-hmm. Whereas Facebook, you're looking to be conditioned with social media. That's my input.
I'm going
to
say Facebook because it's like connective.
I feel like it's a trick question, obviously.
It's a connective tissue that creates communication anywhere in the world. And you can have a conversation with
through friends and family,
yes,
right? See, there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
But see, the fact is we're creating that dialogue. And so what we've done is we've created a whole myriad of issues and we put it into a platform where people can talk about and discuss these dialogues. Mm. And so that's
great
what
idea.
We do.
Very cool. What was the hardest part about getting your company started? And then we'll talk about Karis.
I would say the hardest part about getting started was the funding part. So we went through Kickstarter, a crowdfunding campaign, and I've never done anything like it of the sort. Yeah. And so originally it was just a learning curve for us and putting together the Kickstarter campaign, putting together our team to help promote what we were doing and getting our news coverage and stuff like that. I think that was the hardest part for us.
I can totally identify because I just feel like I got very lucky in our first seed round of funding or with our angel investment. But now that we're gearing up for the second round, there's so many things that I don't necessarily know because my background is not in business and it's not in finance. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much to navigate. So and money makes or breaks a business.
Yeah.
So it's super important.
And information.
Yes.
Information for sure. What do you think is something that you would go back and share with yourself when you were getting started? I think maybe it could have been to avoid Kickstarter or how to do Kickstarter better.
I would just say prepare more. So what I just kind of took 6 months in order to put together our campaign. But when I, after the fact that I did my research, it turns out that companies were actually taking at least a year in advance to market their, to basically build their community, market their product, and then come out with the Kickstarter campaign. So I think preparation was a little, I would have went back and did a little bit more of that, but it turned out okay.
It's a good one. Kara?
Oh gosh, I mean there's
the Glam app's been around for 17 months, so what's something that you wish you knew when you got started?
You know, I think for me, being a woman and being a young woman and being a young woman who doesn't have a business background, there were so many things to navigate. And I think I oftentimes didn't choose my battles because I felt such a sense of need to sort of change people's perspectives. And I would, going back and looking in retrospect, I would say, you know what, just focus on what it is you're trying to accomplish and don't be so bogged down with the criticism and negativity.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, us being entrepreneurs, you have to just, you know, be very strong in your resolve with whatever you're doing, with whatever company you have. So there's going to be a lot of doubters out there and you want to just push through that and just see your vision through to the end. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. I love what you just said, which was doubters. We can call them haters, doubters, whatever. People don't support us.
They come in many different shapes and sizes, but I mean, you just got to stay strong. And being an entrepreneur is a bumpy road, and you have to have that type of resolve in order to be successful.
You come from an acting background, so at some point, you've learned how to overcome fear of rejection, what other people think about you, being nervous on stage or on camera.
Yeah,
those are all things that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, which is why they stay in a safe, secure, certain, comfortable environment, job. Life, relationship. So I think at the end of the day, every entrepreneur starts to condition themselves with a new way of looking at failure, a new way of looking at rejection, a new way of not so much caring about what other people think. When do you feel like you had developed that mindset, and what do you think are some keys to developing that mindset for people that maybe don't have it yet?
For me, I was an athlete, and so I played college sports, and so, I mean, my coach would yell at me all the time, so that's like one form of rejection. So just, you know, being able to, I've also been able to, like, you know, have interviews and stuff like that and press conferences and stuff like that, so I've kind of been able to, it's kind of molded me, or I've kind of taken some of the skills I've learned from that experience in order to, like, help me in the entrepreneurial space. But, I mean, I'm sure you'd go through the same thing in acting.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I said it earlier, is rejection is just one more attempt at success. So it's like it's another opportunity. And I think if you look at the glass half full as opposed to half empty, you're probably more inclined to continue to push through, as you said, and have that resilience. And and so I just try and, you know, learn from everything that happens, good or bad.
Yeah, one of my mentors always used to tell me, like, he wants to fail because the more he fails, the more he gets to learn stuff.
Exactly.
And so all your failures as a whole make up your whole being, and that contributes to your success.
And that's a shift that a lot of people have to learn how to develop, is at the end of the day, what separates successful entrepreneurs and people in general is the mindset. We're here at the CEO Roundtable. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us is two rockstar CEOs. Give us a quick recap. Who are you and what do you do?
Kara Santana, CEO and founder of the Glam App, an on-demand beauty platform bringing consumers and providers of beauty together.
Thanks for being here.
Taylor Walker, co-founder of Earth Encounters, a gaming company that creates socially conscious board games, and I can sell board games.
Did you guys always think that you were going to be entrepreneurs? Like, she stumbled into it, I know.
Yeah, I just fell
into it. She stumbled into it, but what about you?
I kind of did. I mean, I saw, growing up, I saw my father both do the entrepreneurial thing. He used to do licensed beach towels for both the Lakers, Michael Jackson. And then I also saw him do the corporate side of things. And I just saw the kind of toll, the emotional and stress that it put on his body. And so I kind of didn't want that for myself. And so I always knew that when I was going back and getting my MBA, I wanted to put all these skills I'm learning towards creating my own.
Guys, I wish we had more time. It's been a pleasure having you with us. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.